بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد We continue discussing the statement of the author رحمه الله تعالى وبعدها توفي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم And after those 10 years in Medina After these affairs that had preceded the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he died. And we have seen some of the events with regards to this, and from that is that he became sick sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this was from the effects of the poison that he had tasted whenever Yahudiya had presented him some food as a gift. Some food as a gift, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she put poison in it, and she increased the poison in the shoulder, the arm of that food, knowing that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he preferred that portion. And likewise, we've seen that the beginning of the sickness, whenever he was in the house of Maymuna, and likewise, we've seen from the beginning of that sickness as well, that it began with a headache. And just before this, he was repeatedly going to Al-Baqi' and making supplication and dua for the martyrs of Uhud. And his sickness would increase and increase and get more severe and get more severe. And likewise, we have seen that before it was too severe, he stepped out and led the people in prayer. And Wallahu A'lam, this was the Dhuhr prayer, and Allah knows best. And then he gave a khutbah, and he mentioned what he mentioned in that which we discussed in the previous class. And likewise, we've seen that he was very diligent to be in the house of Aisha radiallahu anha, and he is asking daily, "Where am I tomorrow? Aina ana ghadan? Where am I tomorrow?" Waiting for the day of Aisha. And whenever he became too sick and he's not able to move very well, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he sought permission to deal with his sickness in the house of Aisha. In the house of Aisha. On this day was Yawm al-Ithnain. The ulama, they mentioned that the day that he began to stay in the house of Aisha was on the day of al-Ithnain. On the day of Al-Ithnain. From this day, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he lived for 1 week. After this day, Yawm al-Ithnain, whenever he began to deal with his sickness in the house of Aisha radiallahu anha, it was the very next day of Al-Ithnain that he passed away. Salawatullahi wasalamuhu wa barakatuhu alayhi. But after this day, the day of Yawm al-Ithnain, whenever he began treatment and remaining in the house of Aisha radiallahu anha. On the day of Al-Khamis, there has been a narration. And this was the last Khamis, Yawm Al-Khamis. Yawm Al-Khamis, it means Thursday in English. It was the last Yawm Al-Khamis in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he's narrating an event that took place on that day. And in narrating this to those after him, it was a very difficult situation for him to remember the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the narration, he says, Yawm al-Khamis wa ma yawm al-Khamis. On the day of Khamis, meaning Thursday, and what would you know about Thursday? Meaning the last Khamis of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in one wording, Yawm al-Khamis, wa ma Yawm al-Khamis, on the day of Khamis, and what, meaning, wa ma Yawm al-Khamis, meaning how great and how tragic was the events that occurred that day and after that day. And this is a time whenever the disease or the sickness began to really take hold of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then he would cry after this. Ibn Abbas, as he narrates this narration, Yawm al-Khamis, wa ma Yawm al-Khamis, thumma baka. حتى خضب دمعه الحصى. He would cry after this, mentioning this narration, and then he would cry so much that the rocks below him would become wet with his tears. رضي الله عنهما. So we see in this narration that is found in Sahih Muslim that he said, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ لَمَّا حُضِرَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَفِي الْبَيْتِ رِجَالٌ وَفِي الْبَيْتِ رِجَالٌ قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هلموا أكتب لكم كتابا لا تضلوا بعده. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, whenever the sickness became very hard for him صلى الله عليه وسلم, and here he mentioned لما حضر له, and whenever any death came to him, but it was not this day, rather he lived a few days after this day, and it's known that he died on يوم الاثنين, but this is on the Thursday before that, يوم الخميس. He said, Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, come, bring me a book so I can write for you. You will not go astray after it. Bring me a book for me to write for you. And it is known that the Prophet Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he could not write. And what is mentioned in reference in the hadith about the Prophet Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam writing books and the likes and rasail to the leaders and through the lands and the likes, this that it would be written for him, and then he would dictate it, and they would write for him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he had a khatim, and he had a stamp that he would stamp those letters with, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he says, bring me a book so that I can write, come to me so I can write a book for you, you will not go astray after that. فَقَالَ بَعْضُهُمْ إِنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ خَدْ غَلَبَهُ الْوَجَعِ. So some of them, they're saying, no, you know, he's very sick, his sickness has overcome him. وَعِنْدَكُمْ الْقُرْآنِ وَعِنْدَكُمْ الْقُرْآنِ, and you have the Qur'an. حَسْبُنَا كِتَابُ اللَّهِ, it's sufficient for us, the book of Allah. فَاخْتَلَفَ أَهْلُ الْبَيْتِ, يعني فَاخْتَلَفَ أَهْلُ الْبَيْتِ. So the people in the house, they began to differ. وَاخْتَصَمُوا, and they disagreed, and they were arguing. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ قَرِّبُوا يَكْتُبُ لَكُمْ كِتَابًا لَا تَضِلُّ بَعْدَهُ وَمِنْهُمْ يَقُولُ غَيْرُ ذَلِكَ. So from them there are those who are saying, "Nam, bring him a book, let's get the papers ready, let's see, let's listen to what he's going to write for us, and or what we will write, and what he's going to say, and we will not go astray after that." And others, they're saying, no, don't let him write, he should not write. And some of them, they're thinking that maybe the sickness has overcome the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and this is the case here, or that he was commanding them to do this, but it wasn't a command that was an obligation, rather it was something that he was recommending sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So in this case, the companions in the house that day, they differed about this issue, and they began to argue about that. Some of them wanted to write, and other ones did not want to do that. Naam, and then فَلَمَّا أَكْثَرُوا اللَّغْوَ وَالِاخْتِلَافِ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ قُومُوا. But whenever the differing became, or whenever the differing increased, and the noises became greater, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, get up, kum anni, go away from me. And one narration, that it's not befitting for you to debate and argue and raise your voices like this in front of me, and in this manner like this. And one of the narrators, he mentioned, فَكَانَ إِبْنُ عَبَاسٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ يَقُولُ إِنَّ الرَّزِيَّ كُلَّ الرَّزِيَّ مَا حَالَ بَيْنَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَيْنَ أَنْ يَكْتُبَ لَكُمْ أن يكتب لهم ذلك الكتاب لاختلافهم لاختلافهم ولغطهم. That such a great calamity. What a great calamity that which came between the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and him writing that book for them so that they will not go astray, but rather he did not write that because of their differing and because of their loud voices. Because of their loud voices. So we see that this narration is found in Bukhari and likewise in Muslim. And likewise in Muslim. So there has been some mention of that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had intended to write here. And what the scholars mentioned, that he lived after this several days, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there are many statements and many affairs that he advised the Ummah with and commanded them in those days that were memorized, and he, by mouth, and he verbally, that he mentioned without writing. And many other ulama, they mentioned it were these affairs. Some of them, they mentioned he was going to write the affair of the khilafah and the likes, and Allah knows best. But there are many things that he had mentioned after this day, Yawm al-Khamis, before he died, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and from them, the preparation of the army of Usama, and that he had chosen Usama ibn Zayd, even though he was a young man. He had chosen Usama ibn Zayd to be the leader of the army to prepare to go battle Rome. And they had intended to prepare a great army to battle the Romans. Even before the sickness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and before he died in these last days, he had clarified that the leader of that army should be Usama ibn Zayd radiallahu anhuma. And some of the scholars mentioned that this is from the things that he was going to write, Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. And also from the things that he mentioned in those last few days, La taj'alu qabri wathanan, or wala ta'khidhu qabri wathanan, and do not take my grave as an idol that is worshipped. And it's from the things that he mentioned. And also from the things that he mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is that the Jews, they should be exiled from the Arabian Peninsula. And yukhriju al-Yahud min jazirat al-Arab. And likewise, from the things that he advised the Ummah until his very last breath, almost, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as-salat. The prayer. And he be diligent with the prayer, take care of the prayer, maintain the prayer, establish the prayer properly, and also fear Allah with regards to that which your right hands possess. It has been narrated from Aisha and Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, and some of these affairs that happened in these last days after the day of Khamis, and from Khamis until Yawm al-Ithnain, in these last few days in the life of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They mention, لما نزل برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم طفق يطرح خميسة له على وجهه, that whenever the sickness became severe, and whenever death is coming to him, and it started to get very, very harsh in stages until it was very hard for him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he dealt with many pains of death. And they're mentioning here that whenever the sickness became very hard for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would start to put a wet rag on his face. فَإِذَا اغْتَمَّ كَشَفَهَا عَنْ وَجْهِهِ, if you feel like his soul is about to go, and it gets very hard from him, he would uncover his face, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then they mention, وَهُوَ كَذَلِكَ يَقُولَ, while he is in this state, it's very hard, he's dealing with the death pain, the pains of death, and he's going through much hardship and difficulty, and he's covering his face, and whenever it's too much for him, he would uncover his face, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At this time, in this state, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la'natullahi ala al-yahudi wa nasara, may the curse of Allah be on the Jews and the Christians. Ittakhadhu qabura anbiya'ihi masajin, they had taken the graves of their prophets as places of worship. Until his very last breath, in the end of his life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's calling to tawheed, and he's warning from shirk, and he's warning from imitating the nations that have preceded, and imitating the disbelievers and those who have earned the anger of Allah, and from imitating the misguided ones and those who have deviated in deen and in creed and in belief and in action and in manners and conduct. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's warning from them. Even in this narration, Aisha, or the narrators, they say, Aisha, both of them, and also Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhum, they narrated this, يُحَذِّرُ مَا صَنَعُوا, يُحَذِّرُ مَا صَنَعُوا, that he's warning from what they did. May the curse of Allah be on the Jews and the Christians. They took the graves of their prophets as masajid, as places of worship. We see today, where are those people, specifically those people who are the Rafidah, and the people who are the Sufiyya, and they have so much in common. And from that is that they build graves, not even over the prophets, but rather, they build masajid in places of worship, not even over the prophets, but over some of them that they claim to be righteous. And even some of them have been fooled, and they're not even graves of the righteous. And people have taken advantage of them, and they're just graves. And the likes like this, and this is known, they have built great shrines over what they claim to be the righteous and the awliya. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until the last days in his life, and he's going through these pains of death, he's still warning from this. And rather, he said, the curse of Allah is upon those people who do that. And those people who, to this day, they continue to be upon that way, they have a share in that supplication and that dua against the individuals that do that. اتخذوا قبور أنبيائهم مساجد, they took the graves of their prophets as places of worship. This is the case, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this situation, he cursed them. The narration doesn't mention that they worshiped the graves, or they worshiped the people in the graves, but rather that they took the graves as places of worship. So even if somebody worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone in that place, but he took the grave as a place of worship, he falls under the supplication. He falls under the supplication of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam against these individuals. Against these individuals. So how about if the individual, or how about if the people, they begin to actually worship the grave? Or if they begin to actually worship the so-called righteous person in the grave? Even some of them, how about if they left the Kaaba and they start making tawaf around the grave instead of the Kaaba? And they make hajj to the grave instead of the Kaaba? Ayyadhan billah. So far, are the people away from the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the one who studies and learns the deen correctly with evidence and proof, al-usul al-thalatha, the one who knows al-Islam, bil-adillah, he will see how strange the deen has come, that has become, how strange the deen has come because of how many people have deviated and how many people have left the straight way and how many people have gone astray, and they'll see the strangeness of al-Islam. And at this time, if somebody found this in his life, then this in reality, in one aspect, it will make him sad to see how the state of the ummah is. In another instance, it will make him happy because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he gave glad tidings to the strangers, to those who are strange, whenever the people are holding fast to the deen and they're holding fast to obedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam upon clarity and insight, and they hold fast to the narrations and they follow that which is in the text, and they follow the understanding of the companions, they will become strangers. They will become strangers. So they will see the deviation in the ummah, but at the same time they will have the glad tidings of the Prophet. فَطُوبَ لِلْغُرَبَى فَطُوبَى لِلْغُرَبَى. So we see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he mentioned in the text, أَخَذَ عَلَى هَذَا أَشْرَ سِنِينَ, that he did this for 10 years. And he calling to tawheed, calling to ikhlas, calling to sincerity, calling to the worship of Allah alone, to the fear of Allah, to the obedience of Allah. He never called to himself sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He called to Allah. He called to Allah. قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِ أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ مَنْ أَنَا وَمَنْ اتَّبَعَنِي وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ وَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. اللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ. Likewise, in these last few days, the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, some of them they gathered, and they are reviewing and they're discussing knowledge and the likes like this amongst themselves. And likewise, it's been narrated from Aisha radiallahu anha, and the hadith in general is in Bukhari and Muslim. And in the wording of Muslim, she mentioned أنهم تذاكروا في مرضه صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنهم تذاكروا في مرضه صلى الله عليه وسلم. That they were reviewing and going over knowledge, and they were discussing affairs whenever during his sickness صلى الله عليه وسلم. And she mentioned أن أم حبيبة وأم سلمة رضي الله عنهما ذكرتا كنيسة رأيناها بالحبشة فيها تصاوير لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. That أم حبيبة and also أم سلمة رضي الله عنها رضي الله عنهما, both of them are from those who made the first hijrah. Or in reality, Umm Salama, she made the first hijrah to Habasha, and Umm Habiba, she made the second hijrah to Habasha. And which is known as the two hijras in the fifth year of the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But there was two hijrah to Habasha. Salama, she was on one of them and she stayed there with her husband Abu Salama, and likewise in the second time they made hijrah there to Habasha, Habiba, she went there likewise. Radiallahu anhunna ajma'in. Whenever they're there, they mention now in this gathering on the last days of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his life, they're gathering and they're mentioning what they saw, some things that they saw in Habasha. And both of them, they mentioned that they saw this great church, Kanisa, and mentioned that the name of the church, Maria, the Church of Mary. And it was a great church, and it was decorated and had much adornment and the lights like this. And inside it, there were tamathil, and there were tasawir, there were pictures, and likewise there are statues. So at this time, whenever they're mentioning this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, remember again, he's on his deathbed, and he's very sick, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rafa'a ra'sahu, he raised his head. Now, whenever he heard them mentioning this, he raised his head, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Faqala, inna ulaiki, idha kana fihim ar-rajulu s-sarih, famata banaw ala qabrihi masjidan, wasawwaru fihi tilka s-sur. Nam, he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these people you're talking about, if there was a righteous man amongst them and he died, then they would build over his grave a place of worship. And they would set up those pictures and those statues inside that place of worship. Here again, we pay attention. He didn't mention that they worshiped that man. He didn't. Those people, whenever a righteous man dies, they worship him. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those people there, when a righteous from amongst them, or someone they consider to be upright and righteous from amongst them dies, they build over his grave a place of worship. A place of worship. They build over his grave a place of worship, and they set up those pictures, and they set up those statues. The Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he clarified, أُولَٰئِكِ شِرَارُ الْخَلْقِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And some narration, أُولَٰئِكَ شرار الخلق عند الله, that these are the most wicked and evil of the people with Allah. And one wording on the day of resurrection, the most evil and wicked of the people with Allah. And the people who do this, the people who set up graves, who set up places of worship over the graves, because this is a means that leads to shirk, and from the fastest ways to cause people to be misguided and to fall into shirk is to glorify the graves, and to venerate the graves, and to honor the graves, and to decorate the graves, and to go to the graves with this intention and with this creed. So these are the worst of the people. They're the worst because of their creed that is filthy, and that their creed that is false, and likewise because of their actions and their deeds, and because they have taken the means that lead to major shirk with Rabbul Alameen. They have taken the means that lead to major shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the events that are occurring in the very last days of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's warning from shirk, and he's warning from being attached to the graves, and he's warning from taking the graves as places of worship. Rather, he's cursing the people who do that. Rather, he's cursing the people who do that, making dua for the curse of Allah to be upon them, meaning that Allah will not show them mercy, and that Allah will be angry with them and punish them severely. This is what the la'na of Allah means. Allahu Akbar. And he mentioned that those people who did it from those nations previously, likewise, that they are the shirar al-khalq, the worst of the creation, the most evil and wicked of the creation, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he spent his life and his last breaths calling to it, tawheed, and calling to the worship of Allah, and warning from shirk, and defending the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and defense of it, tawheed, and clarification of it, tawheed. And this is the call of the Prophet. Just like the author, he said, wa dinuhu baqin, وَهَذَا دِينُهُ وَدِينُهُ بَاقٍ وَهَذَا دِينُهُ. And his deen, it remains, it stays, it remains. And this is his deen. This is his deen. التوحيد الخالص ومتابعة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. Likewise, in these last days, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he mentioned a secret to Fatima, his daughter, رضي الله عنها. And it's been narrated from Aisha رضي الله عنها that she said, دعا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فاطمة رضي الله عنها في شكواه الذي قبض فيه. That the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he called for his daughter Fatima to come to him whenever he was going through his sickness that he died in. Whenever he was dealing with the sickness that he was going through and feeling the pains of that sickness that his soul was taken in. صلى الله عليه وسلم, his noble soul that was taken, he called for his daughter. In one narration, Aisha, she says, فَأَقْبَلَتْ فَاطِمَةُ تَمْشِي كَأَنَّ مِشْيَتَهَا مِشْيَةُ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم. She came, Aisha, she says, so Fatima, she came, and she is called. So she came, رضي الله عنها, and she's walking, and it's as if she's walking exactly the way the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to walk. When she came in, فَقَالَ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said to her, to his daughter, مَرْحَبًا بِبِنَتِي, مَرْحَبًا بِبِنْتِي, like this, صلى الله عليه وسلم, greeting her, even in the sickness, still he was kind and nice to his family members. مَرْحَبًا بِبِنْتِي, welcome, welcome, welcome my daughter, welcome my daughter. And likewise, in some of these wordings that Aisha radiallahu and she mentioned that she said, "ما رأيت أحدا أشبه سمتا وهديا ودلا برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بقيامها وقعودها من فاطمة." I never saw anybody. This is Aisha, the wife of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. I never saw anybody that resembled the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم more in the way that his demeanor was and his manners were and the way that he carried himself than Fatima, the way that he would stand and the way that he would sit than his daughter Fatima radiallahu anha. And this is not the type of resemblance or imitation that is impermissible. A man imitating a woman or a woman imitating a man, this is impermissible, rather it's a major sin. But this is something that Allah has created individuals like this and created her, and he is her father. And she has characteristics and traits that resemble him. And this is naturally in the manner that Allah created her, and that she would walk like her father and sit like her father and conduct herself in the same way like her father radiallahu anha. وصلى الله على نبينا وسلم وصلى الله على نبينا وسلم. So this is what Aisha radiallahu anha, she mentioned, and she says as well, وكانت إذا دخلت على النبي قام إليها وقبلها وجلسها في مجلسه. And she said about Fatima radiallahu anha that if she would enter upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if she's coming into where he is at, he would stand for her and he would kiss her and he would sit her beside him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And وَكَانَ إِذَا دَخَلَ عَلَيْهَا فَعَلَتْ ذَلِكَ. And likewise, whenever he would enter upon her, she would do the same thing. She would stand and come to him, and she would kiss him, and respect him, and honor him, and sit with him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And these are from the noblest of manners. These are from the noblest of manners when family members, they love each other in this way, loving each other for the sake of Allah and honoring each other and respecting each other and showing concern and care for each other. Aisha radiallahu anha, she mentioned that this is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And if we want to have love and light in our houses, we should follow this sunnah of our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Follow his sunnah inwardly and outwardly in all aspects. فَلَمَّا مَرِضَ دَخَلَتْ عَلَيْهِ فَأَكَبَّتْ عَلَيْهِ تُقَبِّلُهُ. But whenever he became sick now, and this time that she is discussing now, or mentioning now, that whenever he called for while he's sick, and now she came to him and she would fall, she would hasten to him and run to him in order to kiss him so he would not have to move sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So she came, he called for her and she came. فَسَارَّهَا بِشَيْءٍ فَبَكَتْ. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he whispered something to her, and then she cried. ثُمَّ دَعَهَا فَسَارَّهَا بِشَيْءٍ فَضَحِكَتْ. And then he called her again, and she came back, and he whispered something to her again, and then she laughed. فَقُلْتُ عَيْشَ. She says, مَا رَأَيْتُكَ الْيَوْمِ فَرَحًا أَقْرَبَ مِنْ حُزْنٍ. She said, I never seen until today something, happiness and joy so close to grief. And in one moment she's crying, and next moment she laughs. All in the same moment. So Aisha, she's watching this affair, and she's seeing they're speaking privately, and then she cries, and then just after that she starts to laugh out of joy. Subhanallah. This right here was Aisha radiallahu anha. She was very curious about this, and she went to Fatima radiallahu anha, and she asked, what did he say to you? ماذا أسر إليك رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. And Fatima, she said, رضي الله عنها, ما كنت لأفشي سر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. I will never spread the secret of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. But after he died صلى الله عليه وسلم, Aisha رضي الله عنها, she asked her again. And Fatima, she informed her of what happened now. And Fatima radiallahu anha, she says, the first time he said to her, إِنَّ جِبْرِيلَ كَانَ يُعَرِضُنِي الْقُرْآنَ كُلَّ سَنَةٍ مَرَّةٍ وَإِنَّهُ عَرَضَنِي الْآمَ مَرَّتَيْنَ وَلَا أُرَاهُ إِلَّا حَضَرَ أَجَلِي. He said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that Jibreel, he used to present the Qur'an to me every year one time. And this year he presented it to me two times. And I do not think anything except that my time has come. And I do not think anything except for that my time has come, and in my appointed time, and death, لِكُلِّ أَجْرٍ كِتَابٍ. Naam, and he knows, and he thinks about this, meaning that he's informing her that this is the sickness that he will die in, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then he said to her, وَإِنَّكِ أَوَّلُ أَهْلِ بَيْتٍ لِحَاقًا بِي. And you are the first of my family to catch up with me. And meaning that she will be the first from his family to die after him. And this was the case. And no one from his family and from his wives, none of them died before her. Rather, she was the first from his family and his household. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu anha wa ahli baytihi wa sahabatihi ajma'in. That she was the first to die after him. So she said the fabaketu. So at this time I cried. I cried because she told me that he's going to, he told me he's going to die and that I'm going to be catching with him the first, catching up with him. So she said, then I cried. And then he said, wa amma, the second time, wa amma taradayna an takuni sayyidata nisa ahl jannah, aw nisa al-mu'mineen. And the second time he said, are you not pleased to be the best? Yani Sayyida, the leader, the best of the women of the people of Jannah, or the women of the believers. فَضَحِكْتُ لِذَلِكَ. And then she said, so I laughed about this. So I laughed about this. So I laughed about this. After this, these are last days, and the last moments, it became very, very, very hard on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, until the extent that he could not move. And he could not even make the du'a, and he used to make du'a and read the mu'awwidhat and blow in his hands and wipe on himself, and he could not do that. And Aisha, she used to do that for him and blow in his own hands and wipe with his own hands because of the blessing of his hands, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And likewise, it became so hard for him that he would say, La ilaha illallah, inna lil mawti lasakarat. He would say, La ilaha illallah, inna lil mawti lasakarat. Verily, he would say, there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. There's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. Verily, death, it has pains. Verily, death is a hard situation. And he used to say, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allahumma a'inni ala sakarat al-maut. Oh Allah, help me deal with the pains of death. It was hard for him. And even Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, I will never again think something about somebody who had a bad or hard time at death. Or I would never think somebody was good because they had an easy death after what I seen to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it's mentioned that he would become so hot in a fever that they could feel the heat above his blanket sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then at this time he began to make du'a. Inshallah, we will finish the discussion of the life and the death of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, seeking the benefit from this great lesson. And the benefits that we learn from even the death of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wallahu ta'ala alam, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.